The flower communion is a well-loved tradition in a lot of Unitarian Universalist congregations, definitely including ours. We love it for what it means, that we are a community sharing with each other, that with Ralph Waldo Emerson, we believe in living in the present like nature does, and we love it as part of our history. Norbert Čapek was a Czechoslovakian Unitarian minister, and he invented the flower communion to, now these are his words, to confess that we accept each other as brothers and sisters without regard to class, race, or other distinction, acknowledging that everybody as our friend is our friend who is a human and who wants to be good. He knew that a lot of people rejected the old communions of their old churches, and I imagine that's true here too. So he invented a beautiful new one involving flowers. He was a minister during World War II when the Nazis were invading countries, including Czechoslovakia, and taking away people's freedoms. The church and its brave minister, Reverend Čapek, were a beacon of freedom and hope as the Nazis occupied Czechoslovakia, which, of course, that brought him to the attention of the authorities because he was speaking out for all human beings being free and not having to follow the dictates of somebody else. The Nazis simply could not allow his preaching of freedom and dignity, and he was imprisoned. The final 14 weeks of his life, when he was 70, were spent in the Dachau concentration camp, where he composed hymns and brought hope and comfort to the other prisoners. And he died there. We have our annual June ceremony of the flowers. And when we walk up and take a flower that someone else has brought, it reminds us of him and other brave men and women who have lived and died for our faith. It also reminds us to pay attention to the flowers, to pay attention to all of life right now, because the present is when we are. And it reminds us of what it means to live in religious community. We bring our gifts to this place. We take away what others bring. If we are in a time when we cannot give, other people step forth to fill the gaps. There are always plenty of flowers for all. And I invite you, at the end of the service, when we're getting ready for potluck and we've come back from the little bridge, if there are spare flowers and you want to bring more, you want to take more home, do it. We'll now sing our hymn as we start coming forward and taking our flowers. Start with the front row, I guess. I don't really care. Come on.
Mother Spirit, Father Spirit, where are you?
In the skies, not in the fields,
what to give you, what to call you? What am I? Many drops are in the ocean deep and wide. Call you, who am I? I am empty, time flies from me. What is time? Dreams eternal, fears infernal, haunt my heart. What to give you, what to call you? Oh my God, Mother Spirit. Take our hearts, take our breath and let our
verse
4.
Father, Spirit, take our hearts. Take a breath and let our voices sing our parts. Take our hands and let us work to shape our heart.
Norbert Chopic has a prayer that he wrote to speak to share after the ceremony. See what I mean? There's still flowers left over, and if you choose to take some of those home and think about this congregation during the week, that would be just fabulous. Chopic says this: I have to be sure that everybody gets their flowers. In the name of Providence, which implants in the seed the future of the flower, and in our hearts the longing for people to live in harmony. In the name of the highest in whom we move and who makes the mother and father, the brother and sister, the lover and loner who they are. In the name of sages and great religious leaders who sacrifice their lives to hasten the coming of the age of mutual respect, let us renew our resolution sincerely to be real brothers and sisters, regardless of any kind of bar which estranges us from one another. In this holy resolve, may we be strengthened knowing that we are God's family, that one spirit, the spirit of love, unites us, and may we endeavor for a more perfect and more joyful life. He says, amen. We always say, shalom, salam, blessed be, and amen. And I will extinguish the chalice as the end of this part of our worship service, but don't go anyplace, because we have yet another wonderful ritual that we do on our first Sunday of summer. As many of you know, we have had a partner church in Transylvania. Or for those of you who are new, you can snicker a little bit, but then you can stop. It's in the northwest corner of Romania, where there have been Unitarians for many, many, many years. Unitarians have been persecuted for almost all of those 400 plus years because they believe in one God, because they are in a country filled with regular Trinitarian folks, primarily Romanian Orthodox, but others too, and who consider that if you just believe in one God instead of believing in the Trinity, you are perhaps suspect or not Christian or not even religious, and it's probably okay to persecute you. This is made worse by the fact that our villages, our churches in that corner of Romania are Hungarian. You know, it's one of those Alsace-Lorraine kind of places that have been Romanian and Hungarian. It is in the country of Romania, but our villages are the Hungarian people who have settled there. We chose, primarily through the stellar leadership of Gwen Reed, to become partner church with a church in the village of Mescu in Romania, in Transylvania, not very far from Torda, which is a place where the Edict of Torda declaring religious freedom and tolerance was delivered. It didn't last too long, but it did happen. And we have had a relationship with that congregation now for 19 years. If 19 years, that means I get to be here for the 20th year celebration next year. Yay, that's a good thing. We have seen that church, related to it in various degrees of closeness, through some hard times. The first minister who was there when we first started having our relationship, it was in those early days when communism had just fallen. Nobody trusted anybody. Communism persecuted Unitarians something terrible, wanted to raise their villages and send them all to those lovely buildings in the cities. And times were very, very hard. Our minister suffered. He suffered from some addiction and alcoholism problems. And we just sort of in those days like threw money at them. And the temptation was too great, and he took some of it and ended up committing suicide. So I'd like us to just be silent for a moment to remember him and the tragedy of his life and his family and the hard, hard times that there were in that first ministry when our relationship started with our partner church. Since then, there's been another minister, Zhuzha, who was there for a little while and basically left to have children and start her family. And now for several years, we have had Roby Balint and his family. They have been, Zhuzha was here once too, for some of you may remember that, and Robert, Roby, and his family were here about two or three years ago to visit. We hope they will visit again. It's a dynamic, wonderful relationship, and many of us have gone to visit. I recommend strongly that if you have any interest at all in this fabulously rich relationship, you become one of the pilgrims. Is anybody going this year, Gwen?
Not yet,
but you can. See Gwen right here in the magenta? Oh, and the stoles. Well, the choir, would you stand up and kind of hold up your stoles? These were created for us by the villagers. All of those stoles done by hand, thank you, as was the hymnal cover that I always use up here.